All right, we are working really hard today. Are you noticing
yes,
that?
Yes, a lot of effort today, Wendy. It's going to screw up our average. Dr. John Duffy's here. Look, he's right there. It's Dr. John Duffy. Hi, John.
Hi, guys.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
You were just at an event last night at...
At Whitney Young High School. Yeah.
What was the event, can you say?
I spoke about my book, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety, available on Amazon right now.
Yeah. It's so good.
Thank you. Thank you, Wendy. And we had a really nice crowd, and people asked great questions. And Whitney Young is a really, really cool, really diverse, really interesting school.
Yeah.
Loved it there.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad it went so well.
Yeah.
There's a term that I mentioned, and we're going to discuss this term in just a little bit. It's called sad fishing.
Yes.
Both Wendy and I are in agreement. We're not too up on the term.
Never heard of it.
You'll explain it to us in a little bit, but first, there's a question that I've been wanting to ask you for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So here you are. In the last couple of weeks, this movie Joker has become the number one movie in America. It's breaking all kinds of box office records. In it, there's a guy played by Joaquin Phoenix who obviously has mental issues. There's no two ways around it.
No doubt, right.
It's his dealing with society and society dealing with him. First of all, did you see the movie yet?
I've not yet seen it. I've seen a number of scenes from it. I've talked to my son about it. I've talked to a bunch of kids about it. So I'm familiar with the themes.
I've heard doctors say that the film is unfair because it shows somebody who's obviously... In mental climes, having a very difficult time surviving society.
Right.
And I've heard them say it's not fair because he's kind of an amalgam of various issues, and it gives people kind of a false read on people who have these problems. Can you even comment on that without seeing the movie?
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable commenting on that because it reminds me of a lot of things that have happened in the news lately. School shooters, mass shooters, and people saying, hey, listen, we can't blame mental illness for this. This is a gun control issue or this is an issue of another kind. Where I think my profession sometimes steers a little bit wrong is that people don't perpetuate this kind of stuff without suffering something emotionally.
Right.
It doesn't mean everybody who suffers something emotionally is going to do something to hurt anybody else.
Right.
The vast, vast majority of people do not. This is a little tiny fraction of 1%. When I think about Joker, it almost feels like a cautionary tale to me. Like, you know, we should treat people with kindness and we should be reaching out to people who are suffering. Otherwise, things are going to break down for us collectively.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, not directly in the way it does in the movie, but collectively. And I kind of do believe that. I do believe that we need to tend to our cultural wellness overall. And I think we're actually doing better at that now than we were 2 or 3 years ago.
Because why?
Because I think people are willing to talk about it more. I think there's less taboo. I think a lot of celebrities are willing to say, hey, listen, I suffer from depression. I suffer from anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, I've got bipolar disorder, and yet I do this thing. I still am able to kind of lift myself up and do the acting thing or get on the court or the field and do my thing, but I get what that suffering is all about, and I feel for everybody else who suffers. And there are communities online for people who are suffering, which is really remarkable to have that support.
I just think years ago, probably 10 years ago, if you heard somebody, oh, I have a therapist appointment later, people would like feel uneasy hearing that information. And now it's bandied about very frequently, like, oh, yeah, I can't come tomorrow because I'm going to see my therapist. And I like that we're able to just go, yeah, it's part of our daily and weekly grooming. We take care of ourselves.
I work with a lot of young people, as you guys know, and oftentimes, and this happened yesterday twice, so a lot of kids, most everybody had the day off yesterday, and kids were dropped off by their friends at their therapist's office, at my office.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, oh, we'll come back in an hour and pick you up.
No stigma attached.
No, none whatsoever.
Good.
Yeah.
It is good.
Yeah.
There was a message that was glorified to some extent in the movie, in my opinion anyway, where his character, Arthur Fleck, talks to his psychologist explaining that he felt invisible in the world, that the world wasn't recognizing him, but now that he's committing violent acts, people are taking notice of him, and he's liking that. And I thought, even though I'm sure to some extent that's true, especially in the case of the movie, I was uncomfortable with them validating that point.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. You know, I think that might be playing off of what a lot of the mass shooters and the school shooters in the last few years have said about, you know, why, you know, those who have survived, which is really not that many.
Yeah.
But by and large, you know, to be really clear, people who suffer mental illness, depression, anxiety, OCD, even psychosis, they are so far more likely to be victims of some kind of crime, some kind of hatred,
right,
than they are to perpetuate it. You know, that they tend to be really kind of deep, thoughtful, kind people. And so I don't know if we can emphasize that enough. So that's probably something that the movie takes and kind of stratifies this little area of, you know, that community, and it makes it seem like that's the whole thing. And I hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I mean, I said this, I don't know if I said it on the air. I think I did. I understand why he did the things he did. I'm not condoning it, and it's horrible, but there's it's less than random. It makes sense of, you know, so be nice to people. Seriously.
Fundamentally, that's probably, you know, kindness is probably, oddly, from what I understand about the movie, the point, right? Is, you know, like, be kind to people. The repercussions can be awful for all of us, right? You know?
Yes.
Yes. And the Joker might just be a manifestation of that. Yeah.
Perfect.
So would you recommend, in a case like this, and I know this is tough, John, because you haven't seen the movie, so it's hard. I know you've only seen clips. But I always wonder if somebody is on the brink of that, a movie like this, there's no reason to believe it would push anybody over any edges, right?
No. In fact, I've worked with kids in the past couple of weeks who are in a pretty bad way, who are stressed, depressed, anxious, who have seen the movie.
Yeah.
And it's not, people aren't that suggestible. You know what I mean? Like, so they're interested in it. They want to talk about it, and they want to talk about, okay, so why did Arthur do what he did? And,
right,
you know, and what was the motivation? They're discerning. You know what I mean? That people don't lose all compass of reason because they're suffering a little bit.
Right.
Most of us are suffering a little bit. I actually find myself very drawn to the movie because it fosters discussion about all this stuff. We wouldn't be talking about mental wellness and mental illness in the context of this movie if it weren't this kind of phenom, right? This big deal.
He also seemed like a recognizable character. Like, when you just see him in scenes where he's sitting alone on a bus or walking through the town, you say to yourself, that's the kind of person I see on a daily basis. I don't know what's going on in their heads, but I'm used to seeing that guy.
Yeah. Well, to Wendy's point, the idea might be, don't just ignore that person.
Right.
You know what I mean? And for kids, it's kind of like, don't ignore that kid sitting alone in the lunchroom or sitting alone in class. And, you know, don't bully somebody randomly because you think they're going to be resilient to that somehow. You know, like, you know, be kind to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then we might be able to mitigate some of the terribleness that could happen years from now.
Right. Come on. We all like to be liked. We really do. You know, Bill, if I see somebody who is not nice to me, I will try as hard as
win
I can to win them over.
right.
Because that's what we all desire. We all want to be liked.
Of course, it's a very core fundamental need, right? It's a very bottom of that hierarchy.
No question.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. John Duffy is here. We'll talk about sad fishing. Is it a new term to you? It is to us. He'll explain exactly what sad fishing is in just a little bit. Dr. John Duffy is here, clinical psychologist, certified life coach, the author of The Available Parent, and now the author of a new book, John?
Yes, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety.
Available wherever books are sold.
Wherever books are sold.
All right, here's a term that I'd never heard until 2 days ago, sad fishing. Please explain.
Yes. Okay. So everything I think I know and I learn from the kids I work with.
Yeah.
And so I was giving a talk the other day, and a girl kind of raised her hand and said, yeah, kind of like sad fishing. And I asked her what that meant. And she said, effectively, this is posting about your difficulties, your anxiety, your depression, your breakup online, seeking out sympathy from other people. So a lot of kids do this. A lot of adults do it. Oftentimes it's exaggerated. And my concern about sad fishing, as I looked more into it in the last few days, is it puts kids in this very uncomfortable role of being de facto therapists for each other. And this always makes me nervous because, you know, they're I went to grad school for 5 years.
Right.
I had to write a dissertation in order to do what I do.
You're licensed and bonded.
I'm licensed and bonded. I'm actually bonded.
Right.
And still, I feel over my skis once in a while.
Yeah.
You got 15-year-olds out there in the middle of the night trying to save each other's lives, literally, and not sure whether they're dealing with somebody who's really in trouble or is kind of exaggerating the difficulty they're in. And so this is what sad fishing is all about. But it's a little worrisome to me as a therapist. I get why. I don't mind the idea that there's this community of support out there.
Right.
But somewhere we need to find a lane for our kids that actually works for them so that they are able to talk to one another without using each other as therapists.
Yeah.
The best thing you ever said to me is my son had a friend who was having some trouble and was confiding in other friends. And I'm like, you know, they don't know how to go about doing it. And you said to me, it's a 16-year-old trying to help out a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
They don't know either.
Yeah. We can't expect them to, right?
Yes.
They're really, this generation, I think you guys know, I have so much respect for them. I think they're deep and keen and insightful and emotionally astute. But we can't ask them to do this. We can't ask them to take care of each other. So I usually think about what would I say to these kids? And I would probably say, don't respond in a thread. Respond if you have something to say to this kid.
Mm-hmm.
Text, you know, something through Snapchat that's one-on-one, or send them an actual direct text, or reach out to their parents if you really are concerned about their well-being, or encourage, at the very least, encourage professional help, and you can actually do that on the thread. But by and large, I would also encourage kids, if you're drawn to this kind of activity, to back out of that and actually go to an adult and ask for help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So initially, when somebody posts something that contains some bad news, their hopes, I'm guessing, is to just sort of get some sympathy. Is that what they're hoping for?
Yeah. And I think 90% of the time, that's all they're hoping for. You know, like, I went through a breakup. This sucks. You know, can you help me out with that? So, you know, like, oh, we're all behind you. We support you.
Right.
But in the last few months, some kids have dug a little deeper and said, you know, like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through the night. You know, like really, really dark, depressive stuff where it feels urgent. It feels like it could be a crisis.
Sure,
you know?
It is, yeah.
And this stuff's not new. I remember back just post 9/11, I was working with a child who claimed that they had a parent who died in the World Trade Center and hadn't, in fact, and was kind of sad fishing in that way.
But to get attention,
and sympathy, knowing full well this was going to break bad on her at some point, too.
Right.
Now, social media is such a potent way to do that. It's so much more powerful. And my fear is something could be direct. Something could happen quickly that we don't want in the hands of kids.
And even as an adult, like if somebody, a friend comes up to you and says, oh, I'm just so heartbroken, you know, my mom passed away. And then I say, oh, my mom passed away too. It's sometimes taking away some of their glory. Like they want to just say something like, okay, enough about you. I'm here to vent. And that puts a younger kid in that position where, what do you say? Do you say, oh, breakups are bad, I know? Or how do you even respond when you don't know?
It's tough for kids sometimes because sometimes the only way they can think of to empathize is to sympathize and to be direct and say, oh, yeah, I feel that way too, so don't worry about it, you know, or something like that. But then you're putting yourself in this position too, right? And then all of a sudden you've got kind of this chain of people that is sharing their darkest stories.
Yeah.
And sometimes they try to one-up one another, right?
Yeah.
With how grim it is.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, I'll work with a child who will say, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't feel like I'm depressed or anxious or carry like OCD.
What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with me.
Exactly, Bill.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that feels kind of strange for kids. Like, am I not thinking it through? Am I not deep enough to figure this out right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to reiterate, if you're, let's say you're a teenager or even in your early 20s and you see a post from somebody that you know and it talks about desperation and saying, I don't know, as you said, I don't know that I'm going to make it through the night. What is your next best move if you read that?
So the next best move, in my opinion, is to reach out to them directly and ask them, you know, are you okay right now?
Yeah.
You know, and if you get a no to that, then all bets are off, just like they would be in my office.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk. Okay, I'm going to write your parents or, you know, I'm going to call 911 if it feels that urgent.
What do you do if the I just said teenager or early 20s, but what if it is 30s or 40s or 50s? Is it the same rules
to play
by?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Sure.
But a kid, again, I'm just going, let's say 17 years old. A kid gets a text saying, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make it to tomorrow. Some of these kids don't know how to contact a parent to help. So what do you do?
Yeah. So in that situation, the only thing I can recommend kids do, and this might feel extreme, is to call 911. And you wouldn't regret doing it. Your friend might be mad. Oh, I was just venting. You know, I can't believe you did that to me. But better safe than sorry in situations like that. You cannot take that kind of a threat lightly, no matter how it's levied, whether it's directly or it's online. So if somebody says, I'm not going to make it till tomorrow, or, you know, I'm thinking about taking my own life, you can't take that lightly. You've got to act. And right, sometimes you don't know how to get in touch with a parent. So calling 911 and saying, this is their name, this is the threat, I can send you a screenshot of it, get over there right away.
You make so much sense out of parenting, because, boy, I just really didn't think it was going to be this hard. I really didn't.
You know, and it didn't used to be. I think it's getting tougher. I think it's getting tougher as we go.
That's good news. Thanks, John.
Take it easy, guys.
How do people get in touch with you and find out about the new book as well, Parenting the Teen in the Age of Anxiety? Sorry.
Yeah. So you can find me at drjohnduffy.com, and I am at Barbara's Bookstore in Vernon Hills tonight at 6:30 as well.
Excellent. Thank you, John.
Thank you, guys.
I appreciate you being here. More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN.